and faithful. I'm going to pray for her. Father God, we thank you for Lekha, that she's got such a big heart. Thank you that we love her and you love her even more. Speak to us today through her, we pray. Amen.
Oh my God. I'm not going to move away from the microphone. Okay. Well, mine is my testimony. So thank goodness I'm not preaching, I'm just sharing my testimony with you. So the theme this Easter is giving, but I'm going to talk about first fruits. What it is and how it applied to my family life. So, first of all, talo falava, kia orana, talo hani, and my family, I'm Samoan, and I have 10 people in my 10 children. There's six girls and 4 boys. And we grew up, we had a lot of fun together. We were very poor, but we were very rich in spirit and serving God. And that was something, especially my mother, made sure that God comes first. So we learn first fruits, you give your best to God. Bills come second, food came second. God is number one. Give your tithe, give your donation. But and it's amazing as children. Sometimes when we were little, we go, oh, I wish we have this and that like other children. But we found that we always had enough. We always had enough in our household. Both my parents were working well. My mother was a teacher. And in our family, there's 4 teachers, including me. And my father was a chief bailiff. And I can remember as children, they used to go around the village, and I think his job was to collect payment for things. And my father and the 3 people that worked with him, they used to come back with lots of food. So I don't know how it got on, but I think some of the Samoan people used to, we haven't got any money today, but you can have a sack of taro or whatever. But my dad, very kind also, very generous. Our parents modeled godly obedience and trust. So, and it was good to see that in action, because today we do the same. My brother in Auckland, he's in the church himself. He's also on the vestry in the church in Auckland. And like our whole family, first fruits, give to God. First fruits, so the 3 first fruits are the first of your day, the first of your money, the first of your service. First of your day, it was routine. You get woken up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're sleepy. You have to wake up and you'll sing a hymn, and my father will, beautiful singing voice, 5 o'clock in the morning, and everyone's singing. Then you'll say a prayer for us, and it'll cover us. And the same will be in the evening for evening prayers, same thing. So we grew up in a family that we were so happy because we were rooted in the Word of God, and that was lovely. The first of money, I talked about it, that irrespective of what the problems are, you've got to put aside the money for the minister of the church, for the church. And service, my mother, like most women in the church, they'll set up committees, and the men will have their own committees. And the women's committees, you should see when we grew up, the women will get together and they have embroidery. They'll do all that on the sheets, pillowcases, tablecloths. We were fascinated about these women, how talented they were with making all these things for the minister's wife, and also for serving people like this sort of thing. It'll be colourful, vibrant colours, Pacific flowers, Jesus, Mary, whatever. And the same with the men. My father was, when he came off from work, they're always either cleaning up the around the church, painting, making things. I think they bought a car for one of the ministers of the church, the congregation, but the men made sure that the minister of our church in one of the villages we lived in, I think that's what they did. He had his car. Today, when you go to Samoa or in the islands, you'll drive and you'll see all these beautiful big churches, and you go in and it's very strict. Maybe the missionaries that went to Samoa lay down. In the morning, you wear white. In the afternoon, you wear what we wear now, coloured clothes, but it's always white. White hats for ladies. Ladies have to cover their heads. So that was part of the giving service. Very, very obedient. Yeah, obedient. I use that word. I like that word. Okay. So exceptional role here for us. Give God what belongs to him. In the Old Testament, people were instructed to give 10%, and Christians today still use that as a guideline. Furthermore, now, many more Christians are stepping up in faith, and they give more than a 10%, as they mentioned in the Bible. In fact, I found something right throughout the Bible, from the times of Abraham, who offered a 10% of his spoils of war to the priest Melchizedek, that's his name, to the Israelites, who gave 10% of their crops and livestock and income as an offering to God. And then go through the New Testament, where the concept of tithing emphasized the principle of generosity, stewardship, and giving. And I think our church is doing very well, aren't we? We tick all those boxes. And I put here about something about honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of your crop. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. The other thing in my testimony that I observed as children when we were growing up, it's always around giving to God. My parents are always quiet, very quiet. And I think we found out later they did a lot of praying about giving with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding. So now we do the same. We do the same. For me, if things go wrong in my life, I just surrender. I just say, Lord, just take it away. I'm too tired. Please go before me and straighten my path. And so if you do your part and be faithful to God in doing his work, just leave everything up to him. If you have anything that you're worried about, believe me, he shows up. It's incredible. So we live that life. So I talked about service, the welfare of the vicar, and his family is very, very important. There's a college where you have to go and learn to be a preacher, a theological college. So when you come out of that, you have to find a wife and you get given a village. It's quite cool. And in Samoa, most parents, that's all they want their children. You marry a pastor, you're going to go to theological college and you're going to serve God, because you get given a house, you get given the ladies, you get given food weekly. Oh, it's incredible. And everything is done for. But the minister on Saturday is the days where they go around the village. They visit every family. So if someone's sick, he sits and prays for them, visit every family on a Saturday. So it's a full-time job, going around from the morning until the evening. And that's part of his giving, of his first fruits, I'll call it, his service. And it's so, like I said, we were poor in material stuff, but by golly, we were rich in how we serve God. You have this inner confidence that nothing will ever break that strong belief, strong love for God. So, takeaways for you. I think I've covered everything, Minister. So for me, when I came, I think I've left this part out, which is really important. When I came to New Zealand, I noticed that Kiwis, not all of you went to church. And I thought, oh, I like this. I just want to rest. I want a break. I want to go to the beach on Sunday instead of going to church. And after a while, you feel empty. I felt empty. I thought, wow, hey, find a church. Because when I was married, the guy I'm married to, oh, sweet, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about going to church, as long as you do the right thing. But for me, being brought up in a Christian family, it's more than just doing the right thing. And so when we moved up to Karori, I asked around, and I was teaching at Karori Normal School, and they used to come here for services, some of the parents. I thought, oh, I like this church. You walk in and it's warm, it's welcoming. You feel the spirit around you. I thought, yep, I'm going to plant myself in this church. And I was telling my brothers and sisters, and they say, oh, I'm glad you found a church to go to, because you were starting to sort of go off a different path. And so I love it here. I love this church. I feel comfortable here. My children and my grandchildren, I pray over them. I pray that God will use them to do his work, because, you know, I look at the children here and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice if my grandchildren went to church and learn about God like what we did as children. So I'm giving it to the Lord that my grandchildren especially, they do all the right things, you know. They're generous. My own children, they're generous, they give and that. But I want them to say, Mum, you know, we put God first. I want them to say that to me. So I'm just waiting. Like God is very patient. So he will work miracles in my children's lives. Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. When you put God first, every worry you may have, any hardship you may have will be sorted out in His perfect timing. I think I said to the people this morning, when I got my job and I got paid, I used to bargain with God. I said, oh, I need to pay this first. You know, otherwise there'll be these notices you get in the mail threatening you to someone's going to come to your house and whatever. And I used to always say, oh, I'm too scared. I've got to pay this bill first. But like your faith and giving, first fruit, it's like a muscle. The more you practice, the more you exercise it, the more you're strong in your faith to say, nope, God first, bills and everything else will come second. And you know, God is so amazing. Everything is done in His timing, and He seems to go before you, say, right, that bill can wait, this can wait, this got to go first. And I love it. And the other thing I found is, you know, God's got a really wicked sense of humor. He's funny. You know, it's like you can talk to Him like a friend. It's not like someone up there and you're down here. And God loves a cheerful giver. And giving is between you and God. So one of the things that I put here is one of your takeaways is if God sort of pokes you gently in your consciousness, listen to His quiet voice, and you step out in faith and trust that He has you covered. Doing it afraid, I used to love that. Do it afraid, Lekker. Don't worry about that, put God first. It means surrender yourself to God and leave all the consequences to Him. Learn to be more discerning. Listen for that quiet voice. God does not want your leftovers. And that's one of the things my mother said. If you murmur or give grudgingly, it's a waste of time, you know. But God is always there, quiet voice. Well, come on. Try it. And I'm so glad I'm in a place now where I still do it afraid, but I know I'm covered. And I know my mother said, if you do the work and be an example to your children and your family, God is amazing. There'll be a time when, this is my prayer, when He brings my grandchildren, Tiare, my 9-year-old girl, when I go to visit them in LA, at night she always goes, come on, Nana, let's pray before we go to sleep. And I thought, boom, 1, 4 to go. And I love it. She looks so happy. She's busy with gymnastics. She's so talented. And I said to her, do you know what? Because you're so faithful in prayer, God is going to give you anything you ask for, if it's good for you, if it's something that's right for you. And she's such a happy child. Okay, so takeaways, yeah, don't bargain with God. Exercise your giving like a muscle. The more you exercise, the more it'll get stronger. All right, I think I'm done. Thank you, Ian. Oh, thank you.
Let's pray.